loved it when Sansa finally did what American audiences wanted to do for 4 years now and slapped the shit out of that little Robin boy.
Oh, what a pissant. Gosh, that guy was
Oh, bitch
dick.
Slapped the shit out of him.
He deserved it, too. I mean, what an ass.
Oh, throw his terrible. Ass through the moon door.
Yeah, and the more I see of Peter Baelish, it's like, he's so great. That guy is so creepy.
Well, yeah, I kind of feel like he's not creepy. I'm rooting for him now.
Oh, no, I like him, definitely. But he's sort of that anti-hero that I'm really enjoying right now.
Yeah.
And also, I noticed that the actor spoke out of the side of his mouth quite a bit in this episode.
Well,
I don't know if that's typical, he was pulling
Drew Barrymore acting.
But yeah, he was like really far to the right there. The whatever, he was like.
Well, isn't he Irish or what's his deal? He's not American, I don't think.
Aidan Gillen or Gillen? Yeah, yeah, I think he's Irish. Yeah, or Scottish. Yeah.
Well, Irish. He was in The Wire too, right?
Yeah, that's all. You're either black or you're like UK. So yeah, you're
okay.
You ain't nothing else.
Well, just let's be honest here. If you're black, you are okay.
Oh no, yeah, totally. Nothing.
Or
against.
UK.
exactly. I'm
Idris Elba.
I'm loving what's going on at the Eyrie, and I thought the ending was absolutely pitch perfect.
Oh yeah.
I also liked you've seen it a lot in the trailers, but. Aidan Gillen's delivery of "And what do we do to those who hurt the ones we love?" I mean, that was
pretty solid.
It's like great scene chewing, but it just sells it so well. It's just absolutely perfect.
Oh yeah, no, it was a great episode, and it just sort of just cements my love for the show. I mean, if you're a writer who's trying to start out and like trying to adapt something. Take notes on these guys, please. This is how you adapt something.
Really, I would say watch this for how to adapt, watch Watchmen and Sin City for how not to adapt.
Exactly.
It's like really pitch-perfect examples of both. And just that shot of her going out the moon door and her reaction when he tells her how he really feels is just... absolutely gold, because you know he's just looked forward to that for so long, just to get whatever.
He's so tired of them, of those milk-filled booby sacks.
Yeah, she's just so gross. Just go away. Gosh, she's awful.
Well, now she can go back and die on Prometheus.
Was she in that?
She was in that. I think she was the doctor in Prometheus.
Gosh, I don't even remember. That movie's so
awful.
I'm
the doctor! She's like super Scottish too. She's got like a really thick Scottish brogue. You couldn't really hear it when she was screaming, falling to her death.
No, and I think her estimation of a few hundred feet is wrong. It looks like she's like a few thousand feet. It looks so long.
Sorry.
Especially the way it's described in the book, how you have to keep going up and up and up in these different sort of contraptions.
Well, shit. I mean, really, this happens at the end of book three. And they do it in episode, what, 7?
Well, I feel like this storyline might get a break for the next 2 episodes, but we'll probably see at least by episode 10.
Well, now we have a 2-week break, you know. That sucks.
Oh, no, yeah. But I think next week, or the week following, we'll get a lot of, I think, King's Landing focus.
Well, it'll be the big fight. It'll be the Oberon. Right. Mountain fight, which is gonna looks pretty fun.
And then obviously we get the wall in episode 9, and that's why I think it kind of makes sense here, because it's a good sort of stopping point for a couple weeks. But I think we probably won't see any real continuation of this until episode 10, maybe 8. But if we don't see an 8, it definitely won't be a 9,
right?
Sure. So I kind of think episode 10 we'll see a little more of it, and then sort of they'll set up what's going to happen next season. So,
and are we in agreement that this is the third mountain?
Oh no, it definitely is. I mean, there's no
good doubt. God. It's like every time the mountain comes onto the show, it's a new guy.
Yeah, and thinking back, I still prefer the first one. He had this real sort of just mountain man look, just really haggard, like, I don't know, he's seen a lot. This guy almost looks too much like a model. Not the kind of model you'd see in GQ, but definitely like a model somehow, like a bodybuilder.
Just like, who am I fighting? That was his only line. Who am I fighting?
I don't know. He didn't quite sell me. He was fine, but I did prefer the first one the most by far.
Yeah.
He was just so, just, he had this like devil look in his eye that just really stood out for me. This guy tries to kind of recreate. But
I think probably the idea was they wanted to show off the mountain as muscle mass, and probably the other actor didn't have that build. He was just big. This guy was like,
that guy made no sense either. He was just there.
Well, the guy in the guy that was in like the Lannister suit of armor, he was like, fuck, he was the most articulate mountain, and they got rid of him too.
Yeah, like you saw him a few times with Tywin here and there.
And but he kills Jorin in season two, like episode three or something, like way back when. He's the guy that puts the sword, like, through his back.
Oh, okay.
Long ways, you know?
Yeah.
He skewers him. But it's like, I didn't even know that was the mountain. I think people are pretty confused at who the mountain is if they don't follow the books or the show too closely. Yeah, but, I think they're probably confused. They probably don't remember who the mountain is.
But this is a new mountain, and I do worry a little bit because having not seen him act, he has a bit of a delivery coming during that fight where he confesses.
Well, and, they'll just cast somebody else at that point.
Probably, gosh. Maybe it'll be like...
Who am I fighting?
Maybe it'll be like a Return of the Jedi, like when they open up the helmet, it'll be someone else underneath it.
Well, when they... Yeah. It'll be Ewan McGregor
as the mountain. What? That's so weird.
Who am I fighting?
I love your
delivery. Sounds so Jamaican. That sounds like, yeah, it's going to be one of the Marley sons. One of Bob Marley's sons will be the next mountain.
But also, would you agree, sad to say, and toodles to him, but would you say this is the last time we'll see Bronn?
Yeah, probably. That was a good last scene, if it is.
Yeah, it was a good goodbye.
Yeah.
For sure. But it's,
he'll be the only character in this series that lives.
Well, hey, Hot Pie lives too. Come on. Hot
Pie's Oh, right. Hot Pie's losing weight. I don't like it. He needs to be fat. I can't trust Hot Pie if he's not eating kidney pie.
That was a good bit too, though. I love that whole scene.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Well, I like the fact that inn is like the Tatooine of Westeros.
It really is. Like, everyone goes
little shithole in the middle of nowhere, but everybody goes there.
It says something, I think, about the class system that's there. It's like kings, queens, lords, ladies, knights, and everything underneath them all go there.
Yeah, they all go eat over there. Yeah, I mean, it was a good bit.
It definitely, there's some undercurrent there that you could write about, for sure. Some sort of theme, thematically, they're trying to play up. But yeah, I thought the Bronn scene was great. It was very touching. I like that he stays Bronn, in that he admits everything. He's not holding anything back.
Right.
He's very willing to confess what he's done.
And all valid points.
Yeah, he wants to live, and I like that. He's he definitely feels bad, but he doesn't want to get killed. And I like that he has an ego, but it also has kind of a limit, too, where he's not just like, yeah, I'll test myself again and again and again to see if I can live. It's like, you know what? I'm going to get my ass kicked, and I'm not doing this. I don't want to die.
Well, and then
that's cool.
The Oberon scene with Tyrion was one of my favorites.
From beginning to end, and I love that they took that from the book. That was a great scene discussing his first meeting with Tyrion, so to speak.
And that was the first thing he shot, right?
The actor, yeah. The first bit he shot, which is amazing, considering he feels so immersed in that role. Just so lived in it that, yeah. That was the first thing he shot, though. Which, definitely is a testament to him as an actor, that he can pull that off so quickly.
Yeah.
But no, it was great. I thought the lighting was great, and the lighting in that place gets darker every time someone's in there, which I don't know if that was purposeful or not, but like from Jamie to Bronn to Oberyn, it's like every time.
Right. Well, it was getting later in the day, I think, maybe.
Maybe? Yeah, I'll go with that. That's fine.
Because, I mean, he has a torch at the end of it, so it must be night.
Right, yeah.
So really, it's not anything specific. It's just a continuity thing.
And I loved how relieved Tyrion looks, too,
when
he tells him. It's like, thank God. It's like, at least I have a chance. I have a chance.
A slight chance. She grabbed your little pink cock.
Yeah. And I was like, oh boy, I think I'd feel weirded out. Like, all that incest kind of trickles down on me.
Yeah, right. Well, it was more out of pain than pleasure. She was trying to rip off his little pink cock.
Right.
Your little pink cock.
Maybe she was trying some S&M, some bondage over there, some BDS.
Oh, and we had Melisandre nudity. That was nice.
Oh, thank God, since Danny's not taking her top off again. We got some tits.
Get the other Dutch woman to do it. She'll do it. She loves the nudity.
Crazy Dutch woman. So then, Richard, you can explain something. So I'm assuming, though, she still has powers, but she does admit to using some trickery. Am I correct
right.
on that? Or?
Yeah. No, she does. She's essentially saying that, you know, men need fooling, and she's the purest of them are women, so she's going to, you know, look into the fire and see what really is there. But it takes coercion for any man.
Yeah.
So basically, Stannis needs Viagra.
Okay. All right, I get it.
That's what it means.
And when they're leaving, obviously they're talking about going to the wall, I hope.
Right? Oh, no, that's what's going on, yeah.
Thank God. Just get over there. Stop.
Well, yeah, you read the books. You know what's happening. You know that's going to be the big reveal.
No, but it's
in
just
episode
so obnoxious.
9. That's going like they're going to be against the wall, and that's all hope is lost. And then all of a sudden, Stannis comes out of nowhere and saves the day, a la Tywin saving the day at Blackwater Bay.
Right.
It'll be like that.
Shit. Man,
what was that? Are you watching pornography?
No, I was playing with my phone. I think I turned something
off. Oh, of course you were.
Yeah.
That's a euphemism for your peanut, your little pink cock.
It is. What else? I thought all the Dany stuff. That stuff's starting to get boring for me.
I don't know. They threw in another little hint that guy's a Greyjoy because he went swimming to give her flowers.
I just didn't care. That whole thing was dull.
I like the Jorah scene. I thought that was a good one.
But it's so
where he's like explaining her. She has to be sympathetic and just, even to the unjust.
Right. Yeah. I did like, though, that there's finally some objectification of men, even though you don't see his cock. At least there's that, so women can't completely complain.
Oh, yeah, that was a good scene. Take off your clothes.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Which
happens in the book, too, right?
Yeah, they bang.
It's the same scene. Well, I mean, she does that in the book. Like, he comes in.
I think it's something similar, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't think it's exactly that way.
I specifically remember that.
But also, I like that Melisandre keeps her bubble bath right next to, like, death poison. Like, hey,
yes.
Don't touch that one. That one's
Everybody's bathroom's like that. Come on now.
Yes.
Drano in the bath. There's Drano right under the sink. I mean, shit, you drink that, you're dead.
Also, I liked how she told her it was the blue vial, but the girl immediately goes for the orange vial. It's like, do you know your colors?
I think she's colorblind, and that's
maybe
her secret.
That's it. Oh, okay.
That's her horrible, horrible secret.
Okay, because that was confusing to me. I was like, what's going on here, lady? You need some help. And the Hound. More of the Hound.
I forgot. Yeah, Arya Hound. It's going to be sad when they separate, which is coming up soon.
Yeah, and I don't know. I thought the existentialist discussion they had with that dying guy got a little tedious, but...
Well, that's in the books, though, I think.
Is it?
I think it's in the... I'm pretty sure it's in the book. That line sounds familiar.
I don't remember anything.
Like, I remember... That sounds familiar, that part where she goes, nothing is nothing is nothing. I think well, that's
that line is familiar. I just don't know if that's the same context or if it's something different. But I don't know. It just seemed to drag. I was like, I get it.
Well, there was a lot of callbacks to other seasons. Like, it's kind of. I mean, that's the nice thing about the show. Like, even the smallest character comes back. Like,
no, that
the guy,
was good. I did like that. Yeah. I mean,
and even in the Ilri. You just all these season one stuff is coming full circle in this season. It's
right,
kind of neat.
And I did like zombie guy biting his neck. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
I was like, what? Like, that's your plan to like bite this right. guy's neck? Like,
but do you think the Hound is because in the books, technically they say the Hound is dead, but then there's a little moment where
hints.
The guy looks
yeah.
and there's a big 6'5" guy with a burn on his face working with the monks. So, I mean, the Hound's clearly not dead. He's alive, but he's become a monk now. So, in a way, the Hound is dead and he's found a new leaf.
Right.
But I wonder if in the books and in the show, if he's going to come back and face off with his brother Frankenstein, because that the mountain becomes sort of this mystical monster resurrection zombie thing.
I'm going to say no.
I don't know. I think it'd be interesting. I think it would be a nice little full circle character arc for those two guys, and the Hound finally gets his revenge on his brother, and they both like burn to death or something. I just feel like that's going to happen.
Well, one
by maybe
thing,
Dragon's Fire or something.
Well, one thing that we'll be telling will be how he dies in the show. Is it left open to interpretation, or does say in the show as opposed to the book?
It's
does
specific.
Arya what?
Well, if in the show, it's like, very blatant and specific that he dies.
Right. Yeah. Like if she say stabs him, like he stabs.
She won't stab
right.
him.
I'm just.
She's
saying,
not gonna stab him. That's
saying,
not gonna happen.
I'm
I don't
just
think
saying.
That's gonna happen.
If it's definitive like that, then we know he is no longer part of anything.
Right, well, I don't think, because she's already wanted to kill him, so I don't think she's going to kill him in the show, because they've already established she's had the chance to do it, and she doesn't do it, and she's actually, she has feelings for the Hound, so she's not going to kill him, there's no way.
I'm
and
just
the audience
saying,
would hate her, the audience would
saying,
hate her if she
saying.
Kills the Hound,
hey,
it, wouldn't
hey,
make it wouldn't work, it's not going to happen.
Jamie raped somebody, not a big, everyone's gotten over that, so we're fine, no.
This
no.
is way different, you can
no
rape
harm,
all
no
you
foul.
Want. Cannot kill the Hound.
And I thought it was interesting, too, though, worth noting that when she stabs that rogue guy or whatever his name is, Rouge or Raug or whatever.
Sure.
Anyway, that unlike in the earlier episode this season, there's a lot less focus on it. She just one and done them and that's it. Which
right.
I thought
well, right
is...
right in the heart.
Yeah. I thought that was telling in that the audience is supposed to see, as I see it, like that Arya no longer takes this as seriously as she once did. It's just she's killing somebody, and it's all in a day's work. There's no excitement to it. There's no, I don't. It's not a new experience for her. I guess is what I'm saying.
She's just a cold-blooded snake.
Exactly, and that's where she's headed. So,
right.
So we'll see.
There you go. Well, you know where we're headed.
Where?
We're headed to that little place in the on the King's Road to go get some kidney pie with that big fat fuck Lumpkey or whatever his name is.
Hot pie, and hopefully he makes us a dire wolf for dessert.
Yes, a dire wolf biscuit.
Also, hey, hot pie, I don't know if you know bread. Shit gonna go stale, dog. All right, shit gonna go real stale.
Well, what if, I think it's a cracker. It's a giant cracker.
Ah, all right, well.
Or it's like Limbus bread. Limbus bread. One bite, you don't need to eat all day. Limbus bread. The elves made it. That's
that
from.
Took me a second. The Lord of the Rings. Yeah,
yes, Lord of the Rings. Gosh. There you go.
Why do I know this crap?
Fantasy.
So useless.
Oh, dumb fucking. Nerd shit. Fucking gay nerd shit.
It'll get me laid. That's sure.
right. Gay nerd shit. I said it. I'm not using gay as an effeminate usage. I'm just using it as a way to down gay. gay fantasy people.
All right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Good night.
Good night.